morning, gentlemen. Thank you for inviting me again. The topic today is connected with the Seder. Try to get some lessons from two aspects of the Seder. One is the Birchas Kohanim, and one is the Eglos Tzav. Now, the Birchas Kohanim, we all know what they are. You were what section was taken in various places, but one thing used to puzzle me, and that's this: in Kriya Shema al Amito, we say first of all Vihi Noam, and then we say various other things like Hashkivenu, and then we finish it off with various psukim, starting with Yivorecho, then we go on to Lishuasko Kivisi Hashem, and eventually we get to Rigzu. But the important factors that I wanted to mention were that we start off with Vihi Noam after the Brocha, and then subsequently we say Yivorecho Hashem, which is the three psukim of the Birchas Kohanim, and then we continue Lishuasko. Now, when we say Tfilas HaDerech, however, the only part which is essential, of course, is the bracha itself. The psukim afterwards, there are all sorts of different minhogim and different forms of text, if you look through the different siddurim. But the way I was brought up, and then there must have been in the standard English siddur, was that you start off immediately with the about the Malachim Yaakov and Yaakov Halacha Darko, and then you go on to Lishuascho, and then you say Yivorecho, and then you say Vinam at the end. That's exactly the opposite way around. And often puzzled, why is it that in the case of Krishna Alamita we say it one way around, whereas in the case of Tfilas HaDerech we say it the other way around? When I say we say it, I mean I say it, and I'm not sure, I think that's probably the general custom in England, that you say the Pasuk of Yaakov Halacha Darko, some say Kimalach of Yitzaveloch, but then it goes to Lishuascho, and then Yivorecho, and then Vinoam. That was not a terribly difficult question, but it's certainly something you've got to pay attention to what we do when we daven, and why we should be doing one or the other. We'll come back to that in a second, because I want to do the other questions first, and then we'll try and get the whole thing to fit in. Whilst we're on the Birchas Kohanim, the question is often asked, why is it have the bracha ba'ahavo? Why is that specially ba'ahavo? And, well, there are a number of answers given to that. One is because it's something which it's given without conditions, unconditional. It's also mentioned that a Kohen who hates somebody can't give the bracha, it's got to be given completely with a full heart, etc. So there's a particular reason to say ba'ahavo in the bracha. Again, that fits in with the general scheme which we're going to come back to. Now, the second parasha I want to ask about is the parasha of what's called the Eglos Tzav. The Eglos Tzav are the wagons which were given by the Nesiim in this week's Seder. You remember the Nesiim lost out on the fact that they were waiting to see what Klal Yisrael didn't bring, and they found that Klal Yisrael brought everything, and therefore they had a problem. In the end, they brought the Avnei Miluim. But it says in this week's Seder that they decided they would each bring a bull, and they would bring wagons. There were six wagons, and they had to bring one between two. And that's a rather unusual way of doing things. If you need 12 bulls and 6 wagons, you club together, put the money together, and from the joint pot you decide you buy what you need. Why was it necessary to have each one buying his own bull, each one supplying his own bull, and then you have two of them together, clubbed together to buy to provide the agola? We need to know what was going on here and what was the significance of these particular items, the 12 bulls, 12 oxen, and the 6 wagons, and again why they were divided in this rather unusual form. The next interesting question, which I'm afraid is only for those people who understand a bit about Diktok, and that's this: in Hebrew numerals you have a difference between what's known as the absolute and the construct, or the normal straight way and the smichus form. So, for example, if I want to say 5, I say chamisho, 5 items, it's chamisho. If I say chameshes, that means a group of 5, because it's in the smichus form. Excuse me, this shouldn't have happened. This would all switch off before we start. Sorry. If we say the chameshes means a group of 5. So, for example, we say there are aseres ha-dibros. Just by the way, that I've never managed to understand that, because it's aseres ha-dvorim. If you may all know the famous piyut Elyonim Sasu, it finishes off aseres ha-dvorim, which is how it says in the Chumash. Aseres ha-dibros doesn't make sense, because the dovor is masculine, asoro is the masculine in numerals, and therefore it becomes aseres. But the feminine is eser, and eser remains eser in the feminine, so sheish eglos tzav will remain sheish eglos tzav, it won't change. But if you had shisho, that would change to sheishes, and chamisho would change to chameshes. So asoro can change to aseres, but eser can't. Now, as far as I'm aware, dibro is a feminine word, and it should have been eser dibros. Why is aseres dibros? It's completely beyond my comprehension. I'm still trying to work it out. Unless somebody can prove to me that the word dibro is not a feminine but a masculine. I don't know how it came about. But anyhow, it should be either aseres hadivorim or eser hadibros. But everyone says that aseres hadibros. The point I'm trying to make with all that confusion is, if you look through the parasha of the eglos tzav, it's all in the smichas. Have a look at this. Shnei osor bokor. Not shneim, but shnei osor. Shnei is the smichas. Shnei hanasiim. Arba'as habokor. Shmoinas habokor. Now, why should it all be in that construct or the smichas form? We do find the same thing with the Leviim earlier on in the Sedra. And I've got the note here for the, you want to look it up. Pelik Dalet. Posik Mem Dalet and Posik Mem Pres, Shloshes and Shmoinas. So it's those also in the construct. Whereas if you come to the next parasha of the Nesiim, the 12 offerings of the Nesiim, it's the Asoro Zohov, isn't it? And then it talks about the animals which each nosi has to bring, which is the chamisho, chamisho porim, chamisho atudim, is it? Elinim chamisho atudim, chamisho kadoshim, shono chamisho. But just by the way, that's the only time you find a group of five in korbanos. If you remember when that's mentioned on Purim, one, two, or seven. And this is a most unusual situation where you've got five. Now, if it is five, you'd have expected it to be chamishes, if it's a special group of five. But clearly, this is not a special group of five, it's just any chamisho. Why is that chamisho, chamisho elam, chamisho kvasim, etc., whereas in the case of the eglos tzav, it's shloshes and shmoinas? What's going on here? The final question I want to ask is the rather famous question. If you remember, when Yosef HaTzadik left his father Yaakov, he was learning the parsha of Eglo Arufo, and when he came the viceroy of Egypt, and he wanted to send a message to his father, I am the same Yosef, you should know I am the Yosef who left you, he sent a message, and he sent them the message by sending the Agolos. Yaakov saw the wagons, and he realized this was a message that Yosef had been learning Eglo Arufa, nothing had changed, and therefore he realized that that Yosef was still alive and was still learning Torah, etc. Now that's in the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Vayigash. However, if you look at the Bali Atosis, the Bali Atosis quote a slightly different Medrash. They said there's another Medrash. It wasn't the Eglo Arufa that Yosef was hinting to, it was the Eglo Tzav. The agolos that Yosef referred to was the agolos of the Nesiim, or as he calls them, the eglos hamishkon. Now, so, and in fact, the very next seif in the Medrash Rabbah, which talks about the eglos arufo, the next thing says, and you know what? Yaakov prepared the cedar trees, the atzishitim, the arozim. He prepared them in Yisrael, so that when he knew he was now going down to Egypt, he would take them with him, so that it would be ready for the Mishkan at a later stage. So the Bani Tosis learned from that, but that's also another message from the Medrash Rabbah, that is referring also to the Egolos HaMishkan. Now, which is it? Was it the Egor Arufo, or was it the Agolos? Or is there some connection between these two Medrashim, or are they just in conflict? Is there some tie-up between this Medrash or not? Well, the message that I'd like to take from this week's Sedra, which is relevant also to the Derech, and will explain the problems of Tursa Derech, is that the Eglis Tav is a message that the person has on the one hand to be an individual. That's why each individual Nasi had to bring one power. The power represents the individuality. A person's got his own way in life. Just as we know there were 12 Shvatim, each one had a different Tchunas HaNefesh. Zvulun was the businessman, although he was also the Hatzentri Sanhedrin as well. Yisachar was the, might call the Kolel Mensch. Yehuda was the Melech. Each one had their own way of life, and yet they all combined together to be part of the same God's army. They were all part of the general combination of Klal Yisroel, and they all had to work together according to their different functions. So to be Meram is this, to show that on the one hand you have to use your individuality, but at the same time you've got to work with other people. They decided that the Nesim would bring the Agolas in pairs. They would not just do their own thing when it came to the Agolas. When it came to doing their own thing, each one brought their path. But when it came to being the support of Klal Yisroel, to carry the equipment, etc., then they decided we're not going to do it individually, we'll combine in pairs together to achieve this. And in fact, the Medrash Rabba, again in Istam in Nosra, on the 12 Purim, it says this is a remez to the 12 Shvatim and the 12 Mazolos, the 12 different Mazolos which affect the world, as if each one has a sort of different, although it's Ein Mazal Yisrael, but it's still a sort of a remez that the 12 ways of service. It's actually also significant, and we just finished Sirat Omer, that Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 Talmid, 12,000 Zuchas, 12,000 pairs of Talmidim. And the Gemara in Yevamos, which talks about the Zuchas, says there were 12,000. That's when they were doing well, when they were Zuchas. But when they separated from each other, the Gemara in Ksubas, which talks about the death and destruction of the yeshiva of Rabbi Akiva and the 24,000 Talmidim, it's no longer 12,000 Zugas, it's 24,000 Talmidim. As if to say, when they built themselves up, they had 12,000 Zugas, 12,000 pairs. But when they broke down, they were individuals, they broke into 24,000. It's very significant in the slight distinction between the description of the Gemara in Yevamos, which is 12,000 pairs, and in Ksubas, which is 24,000 individuals. So now, we're seeing, on the one hand, you've got to have your own ambition and you've got to do your own thing in life, but it's got to be done in combination with everybody else. It's got to be a joint approach to things. Now, the mitzvah of Halvoyas Orchim represents this to a T. A person is going away on his own derech somewhere else. There is the biggest chelek of Hachnosas Orchim is in fact not the actual looking after the person when he's there, but making sure he gets a proper send off on his journey. That's called Halvoyas Orchim. If you look at the Rambam, he talks more about Halvoyas Orchim rather than the actual looking after the Orchim. And the Maharal has a long arichus to explain that what happens when a person leaves. You've got to be careful to make sure that that person doesn't feel rejected or that he's just going off on his own. He's got to remain part of the tzibur from which he came, and to that end we have obligations to accompany him on his journey, to take him part of the way, depending on who he is, how far you have to go. The standard is the minimum is to take him to the door and walk down at Amos. If the person is your rabbi muvak, you may have to go most of the way. And for some people, you've got to go for a pass. But the general thing is, the right way to do it is what's called kamil. You've got to go about two-thirds of a mile. Whether that is two-thirds of a mile in distance or whether it's in time, that's also another interesting question of Bisman Azer, because now there are people going in cars, there's a whole question of how far you might have to accompany them. But Bechlar nowadays, the Rashad, is whether, since a person's going by car, is protected, it may not be so essential. In fact, the Chazon Ish holds that Bisman Azeh, where everybody knows the way they're going, then it's not such a mitzvah as it used to be, because if people, one of the main purposes of accompanying the person in his journey is you shouldn't get lost on the way. In the olden days, if you get lost in fields, you wouldn't know where you're going. But now, where you know where you're going, and also you're accompanied by somebody else, if you go by train or you go by bus, there's always other people there, there's not such a chashash Bisman Azeh. But nonetheless, the purpose of the accompanying the person, the Maharal says, is to show that that person is still attached to the sibra from which he's left. He's not just being rejected, he's actually part of where he's come from. Now, from there grew up the custom that we say Hanifta Mechaveiro Alif to Elamit to Dvar Halacha. And the custom grew up that the halacha that you say is Yochid V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim. That became a custom somehow. So when you say goodbye to somebody, the minhag is to say to them, I'm going to tell you halacha, because Shachmetu Mechaveiro Alif to Elamitur Tvah Halacha Kimitur Kach Zochrehu, you'll always remember me by the halacha. And the halacha was Yochid V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim. And again, that's the same point. It's to show the koyach of the rabbim. If you're on your own, we can't paskin like you. But if you are like part of the rabbim, then you have the chus of rabbim goes with you. And as some people say in the Birchus Mevorach Machodesh, it's the B'schus Tfilas Rabim, some people say. Some say B'schus Tfilas Rav, or if you're an Ashkenaz, you don't see anything, you leave it all out. But the custom is some people say B'schus Tfilas Rabim, because the Tfilas of the Rabim has that extra dimension to it. So, but there's another reason why we choose that particular one. The Rashi Tavis of Yochid V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim make the name of the Malach Hamamun al-Azrochim. It's a custom not to say the name of the Malach aloud if it can be avoided unless it's necessary, but the Malach is, his name is that Yud and the Vav and the Hey and the Chof. That Malach is the Malach who is in charge of the Drochim, and that is the Rosh HaTevis of that particular one. It's actually interesting, a very interesting quiz question. Where does the Magen Avraham mention that Malach? And the answer is in Hilchos Pesach, because the Magen Avraham said on Hilchos Pesach, he says the custom is to spill the wine 16 times. We say Dam V'Eish HaSimlas Oshon is 3 times, the Tachadash V'Achav is another, so that's 3 times, and the Ten Mark is at 16 times. And he says when you say the Mark is, when you do that on Pesach, you should have in mind Yud Vov Hach. Moshe Rabbeinu or Klal Yisrael would tell the Malach, hit them 16 times, Yud Vov Hach, and that's the Malach Hamamun al Adrachim, who looks after Klal Yisrael. The Goyim were taken there, Lahavdil, very often you find in the non-Jewish literature, you find that they're stolen from the Torah in some form or other, and anybody who knows about St. Christopher will know exactly what I'm talking about. But anyhow, in Vihi Noam, you've got also the same Rosh Tevis. One of the psukim we tend to say when we go on a journey is Ki Malachov Yitzavalach Lishmoch B'chol Drochecho. The Sofei Tevis of Ki Malachov Yitzavalach are the same Malach. And it's also significant, that's well known. But what's less well known is that the Rosh Tevis of that particular posuk also tell us that the standard distance you have to go when you do Halvoyas Olchim is Kamil, Ki Malachov Yitzavalach. So the Rosh Tevis tell you how far you're supposed to go, Kamil, and the Sofei Tevis tell us who is the Malach who's going to look after us. Right. Now, that brings us now to the whole concept of Vihi Noam. In fact, it probably should be Yoshev B'Seisa, and just because on Matzoi Shabbos we say Vihi Noam, because of Masi Yodeinu Kono Aleinu, therefore wherever we say Yoshev B'Seisa, we started off with Vihi Noam as well. So when people go to Levi, unfortunately you'll find that the Gabbai says Yoshev B'Seisa many, many times. It doesn't normally say Vietnam, but there are people who do say Vietnam as well, but even though it's absolutely nothing to do with it. And other places, because of the custom to say Vietnam on Motzi Shabbos, we say it whenever we say Yeshiva Seisa, people tend to start off with Vietnam. So in the Tzvila Sederach, or in Kriyashma, really you should really the right place to start would be Yosha B'Sesa, but as far as I'm aware, everybody starts with Vehi Noah. Now, the Gemara in Shavuos talks about Yosha B'Sesa and calls it either the Shir Shel Pergoyim or Shir Shel Negoyim. We're going to go into exactly what it is, but it's a Shir of protection. Yosha B'Sesa, earlier in HaKadosh Baruch, was up there hidden, but he's protecting Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara in Shavuos says that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used to say, these psukim before he went to sleep. When he went to sleep at night, he would say Yosha B'Sesa, and that would protect him. Because this, just as he used to say at the time when they increased the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, they increased the area of the Beis HaMikdash, this was a protective mizma. He felt this would protect us at night, and that's why we say it in Krishna at night. That's also clearly why we say it on Tfilas HaDerech, where we need protection. We have to say these psukim, which include Kimalach, Avitzavaloch, Chodzochech, etc. So it has both those aspects. Now, the Rif there in Shavuos says, however, that you only have to say up to Machsi. The Machsi occurs twice, but the second time it comes up to Machsi, that's as far as you have to go, because that is 60 words. Count them up, there's 60 words there, and you need the protection of 60. What's the protection of 60? In Shir HaShirim, Gimel Zion, it says Shishim Gibayrim Sodivlo, which is a remes to all sorts of different things. I've written it down here, I haven't got time to go through all the different remuses, but you'll see that it tells you here what that 60 represents according to different shittas. But according to the Rif, this is a protection of the 60 osias of Birchas Kahuna. The 60 letters of Birchas Kahuna are a protection. Now this brings us back to where we started. Why do we say Birchas Koyanim in Kriya Shema and in Tfilas HaDerech? And the answer is because it's 60 letters, and these 60 letters somehow have the koyach of protecting Klal Yisrael. So although we said before that the message from the Exodus Tzad is you've got to do your own thing, everybody should work in with their individuality, and you must be combined with the Tzibur, and you've got to be connected with the Tzibur, nonetheless, we see from here that you've got to also have the protection of the Brach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu too. Those things go together. By the way, just before I forget, the Eglot and the Agolos, that's the connection. I forgot to mention the answer to the question of the Eglot and the Agolos. It's both the same thing. Eglot Aruf was teaching us to be combined with where you came from, to be part of the Tzibur, to remember that you have to be supporting each other. And that's exactly the message of the Agolos. The biggest message of the wagons was that you should never think you're entirely on your own. You've always got to be with somebody else. So both those Medrashim, the Eglos Tzav and the Eglot Arufo, have the same point in mind, that to show that despite the fact that Yosef had left his father, he was still attached to his father, he was still attached to the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. That explains that the Medrashim are not really Medrashim Chalukim at all. They've both got the same message in mind. Now, let's go back to Birchas Koyanim and our original question. The Birchas Koyanim is the one unconditional bracha in the Torah. That's why we say Ba'ava. One of the explanations of Ba'ava, it's given complete, just as a mother gives love to its child, whether the child kicks it in the face, whether the child shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether the child's a naughty piece of work, nonetheless the mother loves that child and gives it everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this respect, the Birchas Koyanim is the only occasion in the whole of the Torah where he gives unconditional brachas. Any other bracha is Im b'chukotah teleichu, then be on that side of Gishmeich Mitzom. If you behave yourself, you stay in Eretz Yisrael. If you don't behave yourself, you get kicked out. It's all conditional. Birchas Koyanim are totally unconditional. And the interesting thing is the 60 letters of the Birchas Koyanim. It's a remarkable thing. In Parshas, this is heard from David Leitner in Manchester. If you take the Parsha of B'chukosai, the Brocha part of B'chukosai, which is the first 11 psukim of B'chukosai, you have the whole of the Aleph Beis there, with the exception of the letter Samach. Just like in Parshas B'kurim, the letter Samach is not there. All the other letters are there, but Samach is not. How much is Samach? Samach is 60. It's as if to say, yes, the conditional bracha of the Chukosai applies to everything bar 60. The conditional bracha in the Chukosai, the Nasadik Yishmeichim Itom, that bracha will apply throughout, but the 60 letters missing. That's the 60 letters of Birchas Kohanim. Because there you do not need a condition. That's unconditional. It's the Arbo. The Bracha of Birchas Kohanim HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us whatever happens. And just by the way, it's a beautiful remez. He also told me that the Birchas Kohanim is built up of 3, 5 and 7, as everybody knows. 15 words. Every number has its own significance. 15's got terrific significance. Rabbi Nabaki talks about that in the case of the 15 ingredients of the Mishkan and Parshas Truma. He ties it up with the 15 words of Birchas Kohanim. But the point I'm making is the 3, 5 and 7, if you take the word Ba'ahavo, Ba'ahavo, Beis Aleph is 3, He is 5, and Beis He is 7. So the word Ba'ahavo encapsulates within it the construction of the Birchas Kohanim of 3, 5, 7. Well, did that happen by accident or not? Doubt it very much. Just another interesting remnant from the Gaon is when the Kohanim put up their hands, they put their fingers like this. Oh, well, I can't do it, but you're supposed to put the hands up separately. Now, a yad is so called because of the 14 bones, 3 in each finger and 2 in the thumb. So if you multiply 4 by 3, that's 12, and 2 in the thumb, that's 14 bones altogether. That's how you get the name yad. You put the two hands together, you get 28. If you take the letters of Birchas Kohanim, there are 28 letters, Yud and a Vav and a He, and 32 other letters. So as if to say, the 28 letters of the Yad, the 28 bones of the Yad, are all giving you the bracha of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the two together make Koyach Lev. Koyach, the power of the heart, goes into the Birchas Kohanim. It's as if to say there's something terrifically special and protective about the Birchas Kohanim, and that's why we say the Birchas Kohanim in Krishma and in the Tzadeh. But now we come to the Kasha where I started off. The Shaila was, why is it the wrong way round? And the answer is actually very, very simple. The answer is like this. The Birchas Kohanim containing those 60 letters has to be attached to the concept of 60. So in Krishma, where we start off with Yosha Vasesa, which we have to start off with, because that's the protective mizmor which we have to say, and then we say some more things like Hashkirenu, etc. We then come to the Pasuk Hamalach HaGoyle, see, followed by the Pasuk from Shir HaShirim of the Shishim Giborim Soviv Lomi Gibore Yisrael. So immediately after that Pasuk we put together Yivarechecha, because that's also 60. The Shishim Giborim is the 60 letters of the Yivarechecha. It's mamish in the right spot, it's attached to it. That's where it's got to go. Masha'en came into the Saderech. We don't start off with Vina, and we start off with Yaakov Holach Ledarko, and we start talking about other psukim, and we talk about the Shuas of Kavisi Hashem. And once you've done that, and we talked about that sort of thing, then we need to go back to Yivarechecha. That's the time to bring in the protection that the Birchas Kohanim gives. Now that we've said Yivarechecha, clearly the Noam is attached to it, because that follows it. So in other words, it all depends on the structure of what you're doing. Yivarechecha goes together with the Vinam, very clearly, but it also goes very clearly together with the Shishim Giborim, and that explains why in Krishna we say it in one form and in Tefillas Hadarech we say it in the other form, but the point of the purpose is exactly the same, that the bracha of Yivarechecha should go with us and protect us. We need the bracha of Hashem Yisroch in whatever we do, unconditional, without any reservations, that we can always rely upon it. And the Kohanim, when they give that bracha, know they've got to give it. The Avo, they're not allowed to give the bracha to people whom they hate. If the person, the Kohen hates the person, he's not allowed to duchen. He's got to give his bracha unconditionally to everybody, and the Kodesh Baruch will give that bracha too. Once you've got that, then you've got to do your hishtadlis yourself. You can't rely upon everybody else. You must do your own work in life, whatever you are. If you're an accountant or you're a tailor, you must do your work, your individual work, the best way you can. But remember, it's not kriyat shmiyadi. It's all from the fact that we Klal Yisrael have to work together as a team, just like in an army. You've got a general, and you've got a navy, and you've got an air force. All doing their own thing, but they're all aiming in the same direction, and they're all working together like the Eglos Tav. If you take this message from the Seder of the Birchas Kohanim together, the Eglos Tav, hopefully we'll improve ourselves in life. Now, the one thing, one second left, I didn't mention the Smichus. That's the message. the whole of the parasha of Egdus Tavit in smichus form, because that meant combination. That means everybody's working together. That's the point. Mashenkin elsewhere, how you have 10 individual or 5 individual things, but in the case of the Egdus Tavit, and the same with the Leviim earlier in the Seder, we are a team. A football team is 11. Not individuals, it's a team of 11 people. We are a team of 12 different shvatim all working together. And that's why it's all in the smithers form. Not yet, no.